Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Mohammed Al-Qasim. Joining me is Hussein Abish, a senior resident scholar at the Arab Gulf States Institute in Washington. Today's topic. Some say the latest Mideast policy twist that has arch enemies Saudi Arabia and Iran speaking will reduce the risk of war. Others counsel caution. The two nations' oil ministers met in Moscow on Sunday, the latest surprise since the U.S. pact of responding to Iranian provocations. Mr. Abish, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
What should we make of this?
Well, I think what it shows is that all the parties, Iran, the United States, and Saudi Arabia, are looking for an off-ramp here. They really don't want a conflict. It's interesting because Saudi Arabia really wanted the United States to pressure Iran. And I think there were a lot of people in Washington who thought Saudi Arabia, along with Israel, and maybe even the UAE, wanted a war between the United States and Iran. But I don't think that was true. I think that what the Saudis and certainly the Emiratis wanted was a greater pressure on Iran and Iran to be kind of rolled back in the region and delivered some strategic setbacks and forced to, you know, negotiate on advantageous terms. The United States, definitely the Trump administration, did not want a war. They did want, some kind of diplomatic victory over Iran or some kind of success where they could claim to have done better than Barack Obama. And I think the Iranians, suffering under these sanctions with a kind of, desperation that they've fallen into because of economic distress, decided to rely on creating a crisis to restart the diplomatic activity and get other parties like Europeans and Arabs and Asian oil consumers to pressure the United States to ease sanctions. So, but at the same time, in spite of their campaign of provocations, they don't want a war either because they know they'll lose. I mean, Saudi Arabia would be caught in the middle. Iran would have by far the worst of it. And the Trump administration does not want to get involved in any Middle Eastern conflict. So everybody's looking for a way out here. Saudi Arabia has opened their own avenues to Iran for two reasons. First of all, I think it's, no one can rely on what the Trump administration is going to do or not do. They're very unpredictable. They do what they want, and it's very hard to know. It's very hard to know what they want, let alone what they're going to do. So at a certain point, if you have crucial national interests, you have to act on your own. The second thing is that there are issues, especially regional issues, that probably can only be dealt with directly by the parties, have to do with Hezbollah and the different armed gang that Iran supports in the Arab world, that I don't think ultimately the United States will be able to do much about.
Aside from not depending or relying on the White House policy toward Iran, what do you think was the reason behind Riyadh lowering its rhetoric on Tehran?
They're looking for an off-ramp. And I think that the attack on Abqaiq and, the kind of soft underbelly of their energy production kind of reminded them of what they knew anyway, which is that they're very vulnerable to attacks. And more than that, made it clear that Iran was willing to attack. Now, at that point, they have two choices, right? Either they can respond militarily or press the United States to respond militarily, neither of which they did because they understand that Iran is seeking to provoke a crisis. So if you respond to them militarily at a certain in a certain register, you're giving them what they want. But at the same time, they certainly need to defuse the situation and restore deterrence. So what they've done is they've kind of shrugged off the attack and returned to production and made it very clear that they can weather this attack and they can, that it won't be a crisis for either their oil production or the international pricing of oil or anything like that, that they can fix the damage very quickly and that essentially, they can just kind of shrug it off.
You are listening to Hussein Abish, a senior resident scholar at the Arab Gulf States Institute in Washington. Mr. Abish, how is this rapprochement, so to speak, if true and it materializes, going to affect the region?
Well, it's not a rapprochement at all. That's way too much. It's a certain kind of diplomatic feelers and outreach, nothing more than that. There isn't even a dialogue. There is just an effort to try to de-escalate tension. Right now, the region is on a knife edge. It can go either way. Certainly, everything is in place for a broader conflict, not necessarily a war, but, an exchange of attacks like Abqaiq and others, where Iran, either Saudi Arabia or the UAE or the United States or even Israel would start responding to Iranian provocations and attacks, and then Iran responds in its own way, and you just have this tit-for-tat of, you know, an ever-deepening cycle of attack and counterattack. Everything is in place for that to happen. And if Iran does escalate again and does do another attack, especially one that is similar to or even more intense than the very frighteningly effective attack on the Saudi oil facilities, then, you know, I think it's going to be very hard for these other countries to resist a military response because of the need to restore deterrence. I mean, you can't just let a country like Iran or any other country attack its neighbors willy-nilly with no response.
Hussein Abish, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Mohammed Al-Qasim.
You're welcome, Mohammed. Thank you very much indeed.